1st, in one way or another, the pandemic has changed daily life for just about everyone. And even for those who weren't affected directly by the health impacts of coronavirus or had their jobs shut down by the outbreak, a lot of people are taking another look at their priorities in life. Our next guest says it's a good time to reflect on the values of slowing down and a simpler way of living. Christopher Kimball is founder of Christopher Kimball's Milk Street, which includes a national TV show and radio show, a magazine, and a cooking school. Milk Street Radio airs here on the Ideas Network on Sundays at 10 a.m. His new editorial is called The Simple Life. It'll be published in the July-August issue of Milk Street Magazine next month. Christopher Kimball, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, in this piece, you look back at your own childhood. Can you tell us some of your story growing up in farm country?
Yeah, I was very, very fortunate. My mother was really the one who wanted to build the cabin in Vermont. We didn't live there full time, but summers and weekends. And I worked on a local dairy farm as a kid. I spent a lot of time with farmers who had no indoor plumbing. You know, there was a place called the Yellow Farmhouse. It was right on the town line. And people would stop by because Briggs lived there. She was the town baker. So you get a slice of bread with a thick smear of butter on it or a molasses cookie. And she cooked in a wood, you know, Kalamazoo cook stove. And they had a cow out back and a few workhorses. And, you know, life hadn't changed in really 200 years in that spot. And that's where I spent a lot of my childhood. So time moved very slowly. I remember being in that front parlor. And those old houses, you know, everyone just sat in the parlor. That's where the stove was and the dining room table. And, you know, 5-10 minutes would go by, nobody would talk because nobody had something to say, you know, which is so different than social media today. So it was a lot of time with 5 or 6 people sitting around in the middle of winter and nobody talking, you know, and then someone would tell a story and then they would stop. And so it was an antidote to modern society. And I was just very fortunate to have spent a number of years there.
And now here we are in, you know, various kinds of quarantines and shutdowns and worried about the pandemic. You looked back on that time and thought about maybe this as an opportunity to reflect on the value of slowing down by choice, by necessity in some cases. How can we try to capture some of that spirit in a difficult time?
Well, I think the bigger question for us all is, are we at a watershed moment in the culture? You know, these things you can never predict, and you have to look back 20 years later. But I think we are. I think we're at a point where we sort of run out, you know, a lot of the themes that we've been dealing with for decades. You know, and I remember there was a guy back in the 70s, sort of a guru, and he used to ask people, you know, how much is enough, right? And the question is, we have too much. And I don't mean too much money necessarily. I just too many things in our life. And so I look back and you think about, you know, what are the things that matter? And I'm a little older. You know, time for me is really the most valuable thing. So how you spend your time, to use a monetary verb, becomes important. And I think in the last couple months, regardless of whether your financial situation, which is pretty grim for a lot of people in the restaurant business, you do have to think about how you spend your time. I think a lot of people are now thinking, well, maybe I haven't been spending my time well. And that would be a watershed moment. You know, maybe people are not going to commute every day to work. Maybe people don't need as much stuff, you know, including me. And maybe we need to rethink the basic premises of living. I mean, I don't look back, you know, life 100 years ago when I was in the 50s was easy. You know, we can't look back and go, well, what a, you know, perfect lifestyle it was. It was hard for a lot of people. But on the other hand, there's something we've lost along the way. And I think people want to recapture that, or for many people experiencing that firsthand for the first time.
And you make a point in the piece we're talking about. You don't want to romanticize suffering. There's a point beyond which this isn't a character-building lesson.
No.
It is genuinely a problem. You don't want to overlook that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know a lot of people. I'm not in the restaurant business. I never wanted to be, but I know a lot of my good friends are, and this is pretty serious. I mean, a lot of these restaurants are not going to reopen. And, you know, restaurants live on a very 3 or 4% margin. You know, they don't have a lot of cash. And then the other problem is going to be if they're operating at 50 or 60% of capacity with, you know, social distancing with tables, you can't make a living. You know, you need people at a crowded bar to make a living in the restaurant business. So I don't, you know, I don't quite understand how that's going to work out, although I know a lot of people in the business who will make it work. And so I don't want to, you know, talk about people suffering and go, well, this is a spiritual moment for us all. You know, it's not spiritual when you can't pay your rent, you know, and you can't afford food. That being said, however, I think this is an interesting time. You know, there was a book recently published by Russ Duhout of the New York Times called Our Decadent Society. He makes a really interesting point. He said, you know, we're really not in an innovative time. If you go back to the Victorian era versus 1960, everything was new, you know, cars, airplanes, telephones, refrigerators, et cetera, the radio. He said, yeah, we have personal computers now, but my home back in the 50s and 60s really wasn't different than my home today, right? I mean, most of the things have been invented. And so the question is, are we sort of at the end of an era, which I mentioned earlier? And I think we are. So it's not just simpler. It's how do you make decisions about how to live? You know, and I think we've all been going so fast at a breakneck speed. I include myself. I travel around the world all the time to do work for Milk Street and et cetera. You know, that's great. It's I love it. But there are other things I'm missing, too. And so now maybe this is a good time. I sort of said this is sort of a time for spring cleaning. Right. It's a time to we got to throw out some things here. And the question is, what are we going to throw out?
Talking to Christopher Kimball, founder of Christopher Kimball's Milk Street. You can hear Milk Street Radio here on the Ideas Network Sundays at 10 a.m. He's talking about thinking about the way we live our lives, the value of slowing down and maybe settling into new patterns. And Christopher, this was a shocker to me. You said one of your favorite ways to slow down and appreciate your time is to do work in the kitchen. Okay, it's not really a shocker, but can you talk about how you value that time?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this for decades now. If you think about the kitchen, it's so simple. It's a room, and you have a clear purpose, you know, to prepare food. It has food, it has knives, it has heat, and it has everything, I think, everything you really want to cherish about being human. Work, which I grew up, you know, New England, work is everything, you know, being useful. Community, obviously, friends and family, frugality. You know, the best cooks are the ones that know how to take leftovers or simple ingredients and make a meal out of it. Sustenance. I mean, all those things. And I think also, and I didn't say this in the piece, I think the way time passes in the kitchen is very different than the way it passes in other places in your life. You slow down. You have a task in front of you. You forget the rest of the world. And so I view the kitchen as a very special place in terms of if you want your soul, but also in terms of how you relate to time passing. And I think the big discussion now is how do we want time to pass? How are we going to spend our time? You can't spend it any better than cooking for your family and friends. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. It's enormously satisfying. It's useful, which I think is really important. I think, you know, in Vermont, even if you're 90 years old, you know, you have a role in the community, and that's true for any farm community. And it's a way of slowing down in a way that's not just sitting, you know, watching television, but you're actually doing something for the people, which I think everybody agrees is something we're all rethinking right now.
Christopher, maybe you can help me get in that mindset better. Sometimes I'm there when I'm cooking, and sometimes I feel like the time I'm spending is really expensive and I have to get things done quickly. And sometimes that's true, but how can I be more toward that? This is time well spent. I can cherish and enjoy this moment as opposed to the time pressure of cooking.
Well, that's an interesting point. You know, when I first started in the food world in the 70s, food and cooking was being sold by big food companies as an inconvenience. Going back to the 1880s and 90s, that's when the food companies really started up. They sold their product to save time. And when women mostly were spending 7 hours a day preparing food, which was true in the 1880s, That made a lot of sense because that's a lot of time. I think what's happened is that has run its course to some extent, and now we're spending much less time cooking. So I would say to you, you know, if you think of all the other things you spend time on during the day, this is a relatively small amount of time, and it's probably the most valuable. So I would look at cooking as the reward for all the other time you spend in the day, the work you did and everything else. You finally get to get in the kitchen, and you just have to enjoy it. I've spoken to so many cooks who say when they walk in the kitchen, they just get happy. You know, everything else stops, and they enter a new sort of state of being. And so it's a joy. So if you look at cooking as an inconvenience, something you have to do to feed yourself, you're not going to enjoy it. But for most people around the world, even if they do a lot of it, there's a great joy in the kitchen, you know, the joy of cooking. And I think you have to embrace that. I would say, you know, just start with 10 recipes, right? I mean, or 5 recipes that you learn to make without using a recipe. You don't have to master Mexican cooking and 35 different cuisines in India and Sichuan, the 52 different cooking methods in Sichuan food cooking. You know, have 5 or 10 recipes and get good at them. It doesn't matter what they are. It could be mac and cheese or, you know, a simple piece of chicken. But get good at those. And then when you get in the kitchen, you don't have to worry about whether it's going to come out. You don't have to worry about finding the recipe. You can make it. And that'll give you the confidence. It's like playing guitar. You know, learn 3 songs, right, so you can play the song. Then you're good to go. And if you want to do other stuff, fine. But you've got a few basics, you know, under your belt. And you'll be confident. The problem with cooking with people is it's fear of failure. I think that's one thing you sort of intimated. And I know people who give cooking classes who say that's really true. So master 5 recipes. Just start with 5. And then all of a sudden you're not afraid of failure in the kitchen.
We're talking to Christopher Kimball of Milk Street about his new editorial about living a simpler life in the kitchen and beyond, and maybe rethinking the way we spend our time. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How has the pandemic changed the way you live? Have you had to become more resourceful in the kitchen, making do with less? Have you rethought the way you spend your time? Are you looking for ways to slow down and appreciate things, your life, a little more, and maybe rely less on things for enjoyment? And have you turned to cooking for some peace? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can join the conversation. We'll pick it up coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Christopher Kimball from Milk Street. We're looking at his latest piece in the magazine about living a simpler life in the kitchen and beyond. You can join in at 800-642-1234. I know during the pandemic, a lot of people have gotten into different forms of cooking and baking for comfort, to do nice things for the people maybe they're enclosed with in their house while they can't go out and do as much. Is that you? Have you gotten into or back into some kind of cooking or baking? Is there something you've had to make do without? How have you found some substitutions? Do you find peace in the kitchen? And have you found ways to enjoy maybe a slower pace of life, if that's your life right now? It isn't for everyone, of course. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Christopher, that idea of making do, again, it's kind of an old-time thing that I think a lot of people are getting back into now. Can you talk about that spirit of, hey, we don't have the exact ingredients for this recipe, we could still pull it off?
Well, I remember, you know, we grew up, we weren't poor, but I remember people used paper bags from the grocery store to make Halloween masks. I think one year I did have a lion mask made with a paper bag, or they use it for book covers, right? I mean, you know, for a brown paper book cover, you know, the coffee cans held nuts and bolts in the garage. And if you think about the best cooking in the world, I think it's based upon being frugal, right? It's about the simple things. One of the things, you know, at Military, we really believe in is spices. And so you can do an amazing amount with spices if you want to change the flavor of something or you're making a substitution. The things that I do have been doing the last couple months is I cook a lot of beans on a Sunday. I could use an Instant Pot or pressure cooker or just cook them on the stove and repurpose those beans all sorts of different ways during the week. I cook a big roast. Again, I could use a pressure cooker or I could cook it in water and I can repurpose that pizza throughout the week. So being able to take a basic ingredient, you know, I roast a couple of chickens on a Sunday, I can reuse those throughout the week. And I think that's really the best part of cooking is when you understand a simple formula. You know, years ago, I was talking to Julia Child about custards for some reason. And she said, oh, yeah, that's a cup of dairy and two eggs. And I went like, oh, yeah. I went back and looked at my old recipes, you know, like a pumpkin pie or something. That's a custard. Yeah, it was a cup of dairy and two eggs. So once you see underneath a recipe, like a basic stir fry, right, you stir fry the protein, you take it out. You know, you do the vegetables, you put the garlic and ginger in, you put the meat back in a sauce or a basic curry, or very generic term in India. But you start with whole spices, you cook them in oil, you have the onions, later on you have the ground spices. There's sort of a five-part system there. Once you get that, then you can make substitutions because then you realize that, you know, what bean could be substituted for something else or one kind of rice for another, or this kind of meat for another, because the underlying concept is still the same.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in La Crosse. Mary, hello.
Hello. I just tuned in about 15 minutes ago, but I've had an idea running through my head for years because I'm almost 82. So I grew up when there was home economics, sewing one semester, cooking one semester. And you learned the you started out with the very, very basics. And it was required for 2 years. And then I remember when I was in high school and the home ec girls, at that time it was just girls, were baking bread and the smell of bread wafting through. And when my own children were in junior high and high school, boys were allowed, but it wasn't the same old home economics that I was raised in, and I see in my grandchildren them struggling. They want to do the cooking, but they're missing out on some of the very, very basic things that would have made everything so much easier now.
Thank you so much for the call, Chris, for the idea of getting kids into it, whether it's in a home ec class in school or, you know, with a parent.
This is my dream, is to have home ec come back to public schools. I think it's absolutely, you know, I took shop and then my sister took home ec. Absolutely, what a great idea. I mean, we've gotten rid of all these things in public schools that are so essential. I mean, in Mill Street, we do outreach to Boys and Girls Clubs and some Girl Scouts and other things. And we do teach, we bring kids in and teach them to cook. It's part of what we do. And now we're doing it, you know, using Zoom and doing it online. But what a great idea. I mean, teaching kids those basics. And I don't know, I just don't understand why we've decided that's not part of the education. It certainly is.
Mary, thanks a lot for that call. Christopher's on board, it sounds like. We'll go now to John in Toma. John, hi.
Hi. I'd like to give my thanks to Christopher on the PBS channel, Cook's Country, S Kitchen. I've watched that for years, and I've got a lot of good tips, and I've become a really good cook because of it. I mean, in all the bean shows on the PBS TV channel in general, and I really appreciate it. And I really can say I've become a lot better cook because of it. And yeah, thanks,
John. Thank you so much. That's got to be nice to hear, Christopher.
You know, the nicest thing is when someone comes up and says exactly that. You know, because being a good cook is, you know, just a wonderful thing.
Thank you so much, John, for calling in and sharing that. I noticed, I was looking at your blog on Milk Street that you and your colleagues put together. And, you know, sometimes with cooking blogs, people are featuring these really exotic ingredients. Lately, I'm seeing things like canned tuna and frozen peas and the scallions or green onions. Like, we can do a lot of cool stuff with ingredients that we might think of as, you know, pretty humble stuff to begin with.
Well, we just did two little at-home videos. We're doing these at-home videos now on Instagram and Facebook. The two I love the best are how to make tomato sauce, which is tomato paste, which was really great. It was brilliant. I didn't do it. My director of education did it. And she also did one on how to cook frozen broccoli. You take the frozen broccoli and put it right into a skillet frozen. And the water from the broccoli ends up being part of the sauce. And it's just, it's a 10-minute recipe. You end up charring the broccoli and making a sauce. So, you know, frozen broccoli into a cast iron skillet and then tomato sauce just with tomato paste, no tomatoes is, yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, those are the kind of tips that are just absolutely fabulous. I just love it.
In our last minute or so, Christopher, again, there's a lot of bad stuff going on now, but how do you think we can capture the spirit of slowing down in a way that, you know, we're going to remember it a year or 5 years from now and integrate it into our lives in a positive way?
Well, on one hand, I'd say the epidemic of 1918, then there was a roaring 20s, right? So, I think on one hand, people are going to flock back to bars and restaurants and beaches and other things. That's going to happen. But here's what I think. I think these few months that we spent at home will have a lasting impact because it was enough time for us to be shocked out of our, you know, traditional roles and experiencing our families and being at home and at times slowing down. I don't think we're going to forget that. And it's, you know, my parents grew up in the Great Depression, and I can tell you that the way they thought about, you know, they had money, but the idea of spending all this money on entertainment just never occurred to them. Right? I mean, it wasn't even a good idea. They wouldn't, you know, it just never happened. So I think people are going to remember this. Maybe it's only a few months, but it's such a shock to our system that we just stopped. The music stopped. And we got off for a little while. I don't think we're going to get back on in the same way. I think it'll be changed for a very long time. And I hope for the better.
Christopher, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, my great pleasure. Thank you.
That's Christopher Kimball of Milk Street. We talked to him about his upcoming piece in Milk Street magazine, The Simple Life.